Good afternoon and happy summer. We're rounding out the end of summer. This is Sina Block, your host of Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, and I am excited to be here with you today to talk back to school strategies for mompreneurs. We're still in August. It's not quite late summer yet, but I like to start to talk about back to school strategies so that you can get yourself ready and use the next couple of weeks to feel more in control and feel more ease when it comes to setting everybody up for success for the school year. Because if it's one thing that can really stress us out as mompreneurs, it is not having our kids taken care of. That is for sure. So I'm excited to be here and happy to talk about some of these strategies. We're going to have a shorter show today, so we can get our strategies out there, but it'll be more like a podcast. And the first thing that I want to do, I just want to check in. Dori, are you there?
I am here, but don't rely on it because the signal's going in and out.
Well, that's okay. I just like to know you're still there anyway. This is one of my favorite topics is back-to-school strategies. So many people really flip out about back-to-school. And the other thing, that the focus out in the world is all on shopping and getting things to be prepared for back-to-school. But I work with a lot of moms who are running their own businesses, and I have to say that things are probably the last on their list when they think of strategies that will help them be successful. So I have some really great ideas that I'd like to share, and maybe they will help you today to focus in on what's going to work for you this year. So the first strategy that I suggest for everyone who has children going back to school and anyone who is running her own business, whether it's a direct sales business or whether it's a bigger business, is to put conscious scheduling on the top of your list. And I say conscious scheduling because I believe that you need to really focus in as a mompreneur, not just on what mostly gets the focus, which is the after-school activities for kids. But I suggest that you start first with looking at your calendar for the next, months up through the holidays. So if you're starting school in August, then that would be through December. If you're starting in September, that'd be through December. But first of all, what I suggest you do is you put on that calendar what you are going to do for your own self-nurturing. Now, this is pretty much an upside-down triangle for most moms. Most moms will put all the things for the kids on, all the things for the home and family, and then leave themselves for last. And I want to really acknowledge and affirm that nurturing of yourself is the most important thing to keep everything running. You know, when mom goes down, the whole ship sinks. And so many of us, in our great intentions to take care of our kids, get into the habit of not taking care of ourselves. And so what I suggest you do first thing is get yourself a calendar and lay out when you are going to do the things that you love, whether that's yoga, exercise, running, dance, working out at the gym, whether it's journaling, waking up early, potentially going out with your friends or having a mom's night out once a month, having a date night with your husband, whatever those pieces are that nurture you and that keep you grounded, centered, and happy, I believe are the top things that need to go on your calendar first. The second piece for conscious scheduling has to do with how you're going to manage your home and your family. Once you get your foundation set, it's easy to build on top of a solid foundation. When you put your business on top of a solid foundation that feels like it's grounded in your values and the things that work for you and your family. So I suggest that you identify your meal times as well. So which days are you going to sit down as a family and share supper? Which ones will you be working? Which ones will you be available? Some of us travel for work. So when you look at your calendar, conscious scheduling has to do with how you will schedule for your home as well. So meal times need to go on there. In fact, Dori, I'm going to tell you the truth. On my electronic calendar on my system, I have a reminder for my meals, like, Sina, get up and go make dinner. And I swear I need that, because I can get so hyper-focused on my work that, you know, time will come and time will pass and it will get dark and I will be like, my kids will be like, well, we're hungry, if I don't have that reminder. So every day I have that reminder to go make dinner specifically. And as my kids have gotten older, you know, I have one who's going to start college this year, and I have one who's starting high school this year. You know, once they get into middle school, high school, sometimes my kids get on the bus at 7 a.m., and I sometimes don't see them until 6:30 at night, often, because they're active. They do a lot of after-school activities, and in our rural area in Pennsylvania, the after-school activities are right after school. We don't have evening activities. When I was a kid, they used to, you know, we would come home after school and then have evening activities. Out here, because of the busing and we're rural, everything happens right after school. So there are days that I don't, you know, dark days that I say goodbye to my kids in the morning as they get on the bus, and I don't see them until it's dark again, you know. So those meal times are treasured at this point, and they're a great time for us to de-stress and connect and talk about the day. So I grew up in a family of five kids. I was the youngest, and meal times were always our family time, and I've hung on to that, and I see so many of my kids' friends who don't have that. So I'm a big advocate for it as a real grounding and a centering time together as a family. And I, you know, we talk a lot about managing mompreneur mayhem in terms of business on this show particularly, but I really have to say that so much of business success for me is because I truly believe in the foundational pieces of what makes a family work, you know, what makes people happy. And when I don't focus on it, things fall apart. You know, things are not as easy, and people have a lot more stress, and there's a lot more tension in the house. So first things first with conscious scheduling, take care of yourself. Second, take care of your kids and your family meal times. The third thing about conscious scheduling is look at your schedule from now through December and identify which days you will be taking care of holidays and family events. So that also will include travel, you know, possibly people coming in. But if you can look at the like a 4-month segment and really lay it out, you'll see where you have commitments and where you're going to need to be at different places. You know, whether you celebrate Christian holidays or Jewish holidays, they fall at different times, and you need to be prepared for those and gear yourself up for being away. So make sure that you put your family events and holidays on there. The fourth piece of the schedule then is where you'll lay in your school events. So open house, you know, parent-teacher conferences, special events at school to kick things off, potentially, you know, other things that are school-sponsored. You know, I know my high school student is going into a special academic program, and they have certain intro nights for parents. My college student, I mean, we're going to put homecoming in there so we can see him, and fall break and all those other things, so that we are scheduling appropriately. You know, some people that I work with have kids in different schools. Some people have younger children where school events are more sporadic, but it's really important to put those on there as well. And then the last thing I suggest with your conscious scheduling is to schedule time for extracurricular events. You know, there's a reason they're called extracurricular, and it's because they should come after all the other pieces. And I think for some of us, we've just bought into this, you know, the kids have to be busy 24/7. And, you know, I swear some of my local friends, literally have been running all summer long because their kids are in travel teams, or they're here or they're there. And I think so many parents have just turned into these, you know, taxi drivers, but getting our kids to all these events where they're completely overscheduled. So really, conscious scheduling has to do with sitting down. I mean, when my kids were younger, they wanted to do everything before they really figured out what they loved. You know, now that they know what they love, and they're into theater, and they're into music, and they're into dance, they're into things that that are, you know, what are their own things. You know, they were in then to all kinds of things, soccer and camp, and we also have Boy Scouts. So anything extra needs to go on that calendar, and then you will start to see how things measure up. And once you get these pieces in place, these are foundational pieces for you to be able to juggle around. But I always suggest with everybody, what's the schedule look like, and creating some space for that to be, you know, one of those things. I mean, our family has a tradition that every Sunday night, we call it, you know, Sunday night summit or Sunday sanity session, where we sit down after dinner and everybody lays out their week so that we know what's happening. Sometimes I have business meetings. Sometimes I have presentations. Sometimes I have clients. And so people know what to expect, and I know when I need to create a meal that they can warm up, or they're going to have to cook on their own, and so forth. So that schedule is key. It's like the linchpin to sanity for mompreneurs. Do you have anything you want to add about scheduling, Dori, if you're still there?
I'm here. You know, it's funny because, you know, my rule in our house, I had three kids that were all involved in sports. They were allowed one sport per semester. Because they would have loved to have gotten involved in more things. And I'm like, guys, you know what? It's just me. And I remember the chef and chauffeur days, you know. And So breakfast for us was our time that we could all be together. And because I had kids that, you know, doubleheaders. I mean, everyone had a game the weekend. I could have 15 games in the weekend between the three of them, because they were on double teams who had double headers. Sometimes each one of my kids would have four games in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was coordinated with their coaches and everything else. And they got to the point that they were like, Mom, pick a kid on the weekend, because I would try to get to, you know, I'd watch a couple innings here, go a couple innings there. And they were like, it's okay, Mom. We know you want to be at all our games, but you need to take that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they got very good at that. But, you know, mealtime, we cooked together, you know, and or they would take turns, who would take turns cooking dinner and stuff like that, because they three loved to cook and whatnot.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, my scheduling, I am right there with you. Although I never had to remind myself to stop and make dinner.
Yeah, well, I do. Unfortunately, yeah. Too many balls in the air for me most of the time. That's why. But,
yeah.
You know, that's okay. I mean, you have to do what works. And that's, you know, I'm one of those kinds of people that likes those audible reminders. So even though I do a lot of planning on paper, I like to have it on my computer just to keep yakking at me when things are coming, you know.
Well, that's like, it's so funny, Showtime and stuff. I actually have a half-hour countdown.
Yeah,
on
okay, there
my
you
my alarm
go.
Goes. That's my theater days. You know, it's 30 minutes, 25, 20. And, you know, and that. But when that 30-minute reminder goes off, it's when I usually pop on Facebook, and it's like, oh, heading over to Rodemont, time to have a cup of tea, you know, because I know. But, yeah, without that, there are times, believe me, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. It's already 12:30, you know, the alarm is going off for this show. Yeah. I mean, you know those days. Well,
sure,
I mean, every once in a while, I'll put up that Facebook post. It's like, okay, who took my morning? Could you give it back, please? Because it's already 3. I don't know where it went. So, especially Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah, so scheduling, I believe, I think it's one of those critical skills. And you know what, a lot of people who might start with coaching with me, it is always my first step. I make them track their whole week. And like down to the minute, they want to kill me, but truly they start to see the percentages of time in real time that they're spending on things. And then they get really clear on what they want to do and what they don't want to do. Because I think, you know, with time and scheduling as mompreneurs, we get very emotional about that. You know, certainly for me, you know, I'd be like, where did my time go? I never feel like I have enough time to do these things. And so the tracking and analyzing what actually I was doing and am doing, I do it every once in a while as well, and say, okay, is this valuable time that I'm spending doing this particular task? So scheduling is huge. And I think the more serious you get about your business and the bigger your business starts to become, you need to be very I'm using the word again, but you need to be very protective of what you're saying yes to and what you're saying no to. Just the nature of business itself, I think in those early stages, especially for moms who are just starting out, they're much more flexible with their time. Maybe the kids are younger and they have to be more available. But I think as you get more serious about wanting to create a revenue stream and those kinds of things, you really have to be conscious about the time, because I don't know anybody who's busier on earth than moms who are running businesses. I don't. You know, they're two superhero roles all matched in together in one. So that's our first thing, is conscious scheduling for success. The second part, there's a lot of little tidbits on this one, but it's really to set up your home spaces for success. And I have several suggestions that can be really helpful for people if they aren't quite ready, but you can refresh your systems if you already have them. The first one is to create a message and mail center where you're going to process your mail coming in, your phone calls, and so forth. One of the things that I think works really well as a tool that actually might be worthwhile investing in is I found this great thing at one of the office supply stores, and it's called an action pad, a self-removal write-and-stick action pad, and it helps you create you can take notes on it from phone calls, but I can leave it right by the phone and just write out the to-do list for the house and anything that needs to have an action. You can peel this sticky thing off and put it on a piece of paper that might come in. But this thing has been, it's pretty neat, and it helps you process pieces of mail. So in your message mail center, you're going to want to have a few different things to make yourself successful and really efficient. One is going to be, always sort your mail over the garbage or the shredder when it comes in, because there's just no reason for you to keep mail that you don't have to act on. So anything that comes in that does not require action, I always say just dump it, get rid of it, recycle it, or shred it if it has any personal information on it. In that message and mail center, it's really great to also have a file folder per entity in your house. So a file folder for mom, for dad, for each child, or for each, for the school, if that works for you. I find that most moms are more successful when they have a file folder or a place for these papers to land for each kid. And then I also recommend that you create a file folder for each extracurricular activity. So, if you've got church, youth group, Boy Scouts, soccer, dance, have one file folder for each of those extracurricular activities, because stuff comes in, schedules come in and so forth. When the kids are younger, there's a lot more paper. When they get older, it's less paper. So I've managed to see how this system can change over time, and we now just actually work on magnetic clips on the fridge. Now, some people who are nothing out style preferences will probably hate that, but those of us who are everything out style preferences, we want to see it and grab it quickly. The magnetic clips are really heavy-duty magnets, as long as you have a refrigerator that you can stick to or a magnetic surface that you can stick to. They work very well. So either, a clip per kid or a clip per activity, or do the file folders so that you have a place for things to land when they come in. The other tool that I just love to manage your home space is a labeler. And, I've had my brother P-Touch labeler for probably 8 years or so. But I remember as a kid getting a labeler and being so excited. I mean, this was, a clue that I had some organizing DNA. I got so excited because I could just put labels on everything. I know. But it's true. There are people who are listening to the show that will say, oh, yeah, I love my labeler. And then there are other people like, oh, I never knew you could get a labeler for your house. But, what people forget is they try to get organized and they buy these products that are pre-labeled, and they may not work for them. And then they just end up having a bunch of junk sitting around not being used. So think about ways always when you label your stuff, how does your brain categorize it and how will you find it when you need it? So the mail center should have all those items with it. It would be great if you could also put a stapler there, a scissors, a letter opener, something, anything that you might need to process your mail and put it in a place that it makes the most sense. So message mail center is really important for a working household. And, you know, review yours. Like I'm looking at my – I have a longer burger basket, which is kind of like a stadium file, and I have like an address book in it and a post-it pad and some other stuff. And in the back I have the file folders for the kids and all the extracurricular activities, and that's worked really well, you know, for us for a long time. And, you know, I went ahead and I got the nice basket that I thought would be nice on the counter. So it was nice. So make sure that it's something that you aesthetically like and works with your decor. Otherwise, you probably won't use it. Okay, once you've got your mail message center set up, you want to focus on creating your landing pad, your landing area, which is the staging for coming and going. Usually this area is going to be complete with everything you need to get out of the door and everything you need to drop when you come in. So wherever that is, for you in your home, in your apartment, in your space, you want to set it up so that you have a place to easily unload what's in your hands. And I'm not talking about, you know, groceries and stuff like that. I'm talking about like your purse, your keys, the stuff that you need when you come and go. So a landing area, you know, for us, our landing area is in our garage, and we've created cubbies and an entryway, and I actually have, you know, a bucket for all the shoes for the kids, and my husband built cubbies for the coats. So it seasonally changes, you know, I can put the swimming stuff out there for the summer and the boating stuff and the beach stuff and the beach bag. And in the winter, it has the gloves and the hats and the scarves and all that stuff, and I use a container for those things. So your landing area and keeping your landing area staged so that it's almost intuitive when people come and go what they need to do. Like we are a shoes off house for the most part. And so, you know, we have our shoes out in the landing area. And it's pretty evident that when people come, they just take their shoes off because that's where the shoes go. And so it's all set up to be successful. And it's pretty easy to pull back into control when it gets out of control with everything. So make sure you have that set up as a landing area. And make it near the entrance that you use most often. So you want to, you know, if you use the back door or the garage door, then you want to set up around that area where you're going to be coming and going. The third piece to set yourself up for success for back to school is a lunch center. Now, depending on the ages of your kids, if they take their lunches, you know, you can start pretty early having them help do their lunches. You know, you may have to make their sandwich or something like that, but if you have an area where they can easily grab stuff that they want to put in their lunch, the grab-and-go stuff or the package stuff, then it makes it easy for them to participate. You know, we have a whole routine. They have a little place in the cabinet. And then they also have, like, a segment where they put their ice cooler things back in the freezer, and then they also have, you know, their water bottles that they fill up for lunch and so forth. So the lunch center area can be restocked and easily replenished when you run low on items. You know, I have eaters. I have two boys, and they made big lunches. You know, they would always take fruit and yogurt. They'd take some snacky stuff, a bag of chips potentially, and a big sandwich. So they always had food because, again, they're both very active, and I don't see them until dinner time. So they would take, like, lunch plus an after-school snack in their lunch. And makes it so easy if you can set up a space that's not in the middle of your breakfast or your dinner area, because depending on whether your kids are going to pack their lunches before they go to sleep or when they wake up. So lunch center will work out well. That also being said, another space to set up for success and to refresh is a homework center where you have all, where the kids have all the supplies that they need for success. So if your kids are still at the place where they like to do their homework in the family space, like at the kitchen table or the dining room table or in the living space, then having a homework center can be as easy as having some kind of container that has all of their supplies that they might need. Pencils and a sharpener, stapler, tape, you know, possibly colored pencils, pens, scissors. You can easily get a caddy. It's back to school time soon. You can find something that's going to work that they can pull out of a drawer and put on the table or, you know, set them up for success. So wherever they are. And again, you know, my kids have gone through stages where they only wanted to do their homework at the kitchen table and be with everybody to wanting to do their homework, you know, in their rooms or in different parts of the house. So a homework caddy or a homework center station with supplies is really helpful to have so that the kids can have what they need and they aren't completely interrupting you all the time if you're going to do some little work or work on some stuff while they're doing their homework. Another space to set up or item to set up for your success are go bags. I call them go bags because they have everything you need to go. you know, whether your child's activities are soccer or sports or dance or swim, you know, potentially if they may take marching band or they may do voice or they may do all these other things, but you should have a bag for them with everything that they need in it so that each activity is ready to roll. And then, you know, when it's time to wash the clothes, if they're fitness clothes, the clothes go back in the go bag so that they have what they need. Sometimes they might need a padlock or whatever, but having a bag per activity is really helpful because you don't have to rethink it. There may be some redundancies there, but it will really cut down on having them forget stuff and having you run, you know, to and from. That also being said, you know, especially if you have kids that have instruments and things that they have to take to and from or potentially piano, like we have go bags with music, we have a voice go bag, we have a piano go bag. So, you know, my kids are musical kids, so they've created the bags that work best for them. Always, you know, putting in a pencil and stuff like that or a pen if they're you know, not going to be out on a field somewhere. So those are very helpful. Other stations to really set up for back-to-school success are going to be your laundry station. You know, this is a really good time to just go to one of those big box stores and stock up on your laundry detergent, your dishwashing detergent, toilet paper, paper towels. Get your maintenance centers ready and your laundry center ready so that you're ready to hit the ground running when school starts. You still have several weeks to make a trip out, but when you start, you know, fresh and full stocked, you have a much better feeling that things are ready to roll and you're in place and ready to handle whatever's going to come at you. Another thing that I always suggest is to establish some kind of routines, whether they're, you know, home maintenance routines, shopping routines, potentially putting together meals. You know, we have revolving meals. We have, you know, probably 15 or 16 meals that I just cycle through on a weekly basis. You know, turkey burgers and pierogies, and we do, you know, a chow salad meal, and we'll do, you know, chicken and broccoli, and we'll do. So whatever we had, tacos is a meal that we usually do for Boy Scout night and so forth. So come up with, I say 15 meals that are easy to put together on weeknights, and then you can just cycle through these meals. You always have the same shopping list, so it's not like you're always rethinking everything. And you know what your kids like and what you like. Mix it up, but keep it so that it's reasonable and easy to maintain. So those are the home spaces that I recommend that you set up for back-to-school success. How about you, Dori? What have I missed?
I don't think you've missed anything. I mean, I never thought of a go bag. Well, I never called them go bags. I mean, you know, they had their baseball bags, their duffel bags that had all their stuff in it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, you know, but, yeah, I can't think of anything that you forgot. You're just so organized and serious. It's like, wow.
I've been doing this for a while.
I guess so.
Well, you know, that it really does. It has helped keep everybody moving. You know, I mean, there's just a lot that goes on in any family. And I only have two kids. I look at my friends who have more than two kids. You know, they say when they start to outnumber you, it gets worse, but then it evens up once the fourth comes again. So, you know, the more kids that you have, the more organized you have to be. We have one of my son's friends has like 9 kids in his family. I'm like, we look at him and we're like, how do you guys do it? You know, 9 children, how do you do it? And he's like, it's like a machine. He says, my mom does lunches. Mm-hmm. It's just a machine. And I'm like, wow, I can't even imagine what that must be like. You know, she has from 17 down to like 4. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Is it possible to actually survive that? Clearly they are. You know, everybody has chores and everybody mm-hmm. has different things to do in a larger family. So I guess it works out. But
I remember Amy Hilbrick Davis always, you know, big takes care of little, you
uh-huh.
know, and
yeah.
stuff like that. And you know, because she has 7. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
the same thing. But, you know, it makes me think of Yours, Mine, and Ours, which is
yeah.
one of my favorite movies with Henry Fonda and Lucille Ball.
And, oh,
okay. you know, when they were making out, when they, you know, going through the lunch, you know, making lunches, and it was like an assembly line,
yeah.
you know, it really was. And it was just everybody doing this and their laundry chutes. And, you know, you do what you do because you just get into that routine. For people that have a big family, it does not seem like a lot because
yeah.
they are so used to it so early on that it just, one, just they follow right on. I mean, by the time my 3rd one came along, she got used to the noise in the womb, you know.
Yeah.
So she was the easiest out of all 3 of them because, like, learning the rules and things like that, she had her big brothers to follow. So,
yeah.
you know, she just fell right into line, you know.
Yeah,
It's interesting. It really is. It's just really fun. But, again, I see, for me, I think the more organized you are, especially when your kids are little,
yeah.
they grow up with those routines that, you know, here's your boundaries, here's what you're allowed to do, here's how things go, and they just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, sometimes we let go of those routines for whatever reason, but that and you can always adjust your routine, but without a routine, you don't have anything to kind of land on and to count
right.
on. And so it's one of those things that, you know, I get asked a lot to be on telesummits and teleconferences, especially with new moms. And, you know, that feeling when the babies come, your life is totally upside down and out of control. But the sooner you can establish some routines that work, you know, and I'm not saying be so stringent that you have no fun and you have no creativity and no flexibility at all. I'm just simply saying routines allow you to do what you want to do. You know, getting the stuff done that has to get done allows you time and space to do the stuff you want to do. You know, because there are certain things that you can't, you know, you can't not eat, you know. You can't not do your laundry. I mean, I suppose you can if things got really terrible. But, you know, that's part of what makes life work and feel safe to kids is to have routines. So it's worthwhile starting them and sticking to them. So that said, let's talk. I want to talk about our sponsor. So do you want me to do it or you want to?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So today's sponsor is Kaz Winters, who is known as the mother of family ideas. She has a site called everythingfamily.net, and she's a pioneer mompreneur. She has been a mompreneur since 1974. She writes, she illustrates, and she publishes information for children, families, and working moms. Children and families have always been her main focus. She has afternoon workshops to teach children how to write, how to draw, and how to think creatively. She's published more than 100 books. And she wrote Get That Book Out of Your Head and Into Print, which is a guide for writers. You can find her at everythingfamily.net. She has books, gifts, and everything on her website, and I understand her website has been redesigned. Is that correct?
Yes, and you'll also find her at motheroffamilyideas.com, and she's the host of The Sneaky Mom here on Word of Mom Radio and our rotating Wednesday platform, and tomorrow her show is How to Create That I Can Do repertoire for your child, because she calls herself a sneaky mom because she feels kids learn best when they think they're playing. And as parents, we all know that. And what I love about Kaz is she has a lot of activities for your elementary and middle school children, which, you know, activities for them, unless they're in after school activities, kind of get thrown by the wayside. We do a lot of things with our little kids. You know, our high schoolers are doing stuff, but where is that elementary age, you know, of getting them learning and creating things for them home-wise? And so I really enjoy her show. So she's here tomorrow with a quick 30-minute podcast on The Sneaky Mom. I know. It's fun.
It's great. I have not been to her new website yet, so I'm really excited to go check it out, actually. But Kaz has been, you know, she's been on our show, and we've been friends through Word of Mom, and I just love her message and love what she's been doing for a very long time. You know, she's not new to this, so it's great to know that that her strategies have been working for a long time, you know, and she's been at it for a long time. So I invite you to go check out her website and see all the great things she has for you and for your children. And I love that she's committed to creativity.
I have to ask you, Ms. What's coming up for you, Nick, in your next show?
Oh, are we already there? I am going to talk about your support staff. So how you can manage mompreneur mayhem using support staff. So how to best use VAs, not just VAs, but also people that can help you do what you need to do at home. I have one more strategy. Are we at the end, Dori?
Oh, go ahead. No, I thought you said you were going to be doing a shorter show. So
I have no idea what time we started.
Oh,
so,
you're 45 minutes in, so I thought you were going to stay with it. Oh, yeah. But if you have more to go, go.
Yeah, I do. I just want to talk a little bit about setting up your workstation for success because, you know, we've done all the home stuff, but we haven't talked about the work stuff. And so a couple pieces, of course, the message and mail center that I discussed at length about your home space should also be parroted and mirrored in your workspace. So make sure that you have a place for all the items that are coming in so that every item can move into its next action step. I talk about your action file at work, and an action file is usually what you do on a typical day. So some people have action files that are weekly, like take care of this week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4. That works really well for people who are on kind of a monthly strategy with their business and they have to publish and so forth, or they have to do certain things. I've worked with real estate agents and people like that that have these deadlines, and that works well. Other people, salespeople specifically, if you have a heavy-duty sales, you can do a 1 through 31 action file. And that is, 1 through 31 stands for the days of the month. And you literally set yourself up with either a stadium file, which kind of graduates up and you can see everything, or you can put it right in your drawer if you're nothing out. And you like to see things, but you drop anything in there that is due on that day. So every day your routine needs to go in, pull the day's file folder and see what's in there. So let's say you pay your bills on the 15th of the month or on the 13th of the month, you pull all the bills go in 13. So every time 13th comes around, you pull the 13 action file, open it up, pay your bills, and that cycles into the next month. So that's the 1 through 31 action center, or you can do 1 through 4, week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4. An action center, maybe you're a person who particularly likes to have words versus numbers, and you know, your action file can be anything that you need to catch and that needs action cyclically in your business. So, you know, I have income, I have expenses, I have receipts not entered, newsletter ideas, I have articles. I have every one of my projects has a different file, and my programs have different files. So I can easily put things where they need to go when it's time to put things away. So an action file mail message center is really important for your work. I also recommend, and I used to help people when I would organize their businesses, a lot of mompreneurs commingle. They commingle their personal and they commingle their business. And the first step to get organized is to separate them, because they are separate things. And they need to be separate things. They need to be handled as separate things tax-wise. So you need to separate the space as much as you can, including even physically separating them. Like, I have a different file cabinet for my personal stuff and a different file cabinet for Sane Spaces stuff. And those giving things a different address is really helpful, you know, where they belong. So your action center and your mail message center for work are two key ingredients for your success. The action center should also have an area for each project that you're working on. And again, you know, the third piece for your business work success is a master calendar. So, you know, your master calendar should include all your events, client time, networking, meetings, time that you're going to spend with business administration, and so forth. And, you know, those are my key back-to-school strategies for mompreneurs.
Woohoo!
So that's it. And I am excited to be here, excited to wrap up the show. I have no idea where we are in terms of timing, but I hope we made it.
We're fine.
Okay, great.
We are fine. So, well, I hope people listening will put these ideas into practice, because, you know, believe me, taking the time to organize yourself makes things go so much, it makes life so much more manageable. And it really does. When you have a routine, a routine is easy to follow. If you don't have one, then you wind up wasting so much time. It's like not having a business plan for your business. You're going to do all kinds of stuff, but you could have gotten there a lot easier had you just had a plan. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's so worth the planning. With the projects, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow, but I have I'm a big fan of some of these online project management tools. My big one now is Asana. And so I use Asana pretty much for everything to keep myself organized. And it's really, really helped keep things straight in my head and allowed me to delegate and keep kind of that bird's eye focus, a big picture focus on everything. So big fan of project management tool too.
Well, again, thank you for a great show.
Thanks,
as always,
Dory.
Awesome organizing tips. So thanks for everybody tuning in here to Word of Mom. Tomorrow we'll see you at 1 o'clock for the Sneaky Mom. And until then, this is Dory DiCarlo saying thanks so much for joining us. And go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.